Thank you very much. After that applause, I can hardly wait to hear what I got to say. But you mentioned ties and all. I was glad to pull mine off, and I'm just fixing to pull this coat off. It, I'd rather have it off than on anyhow. My name is Searcy, and I'm an alcoholic. And a bad alcoholic, I might add. And through the grace of God and just an attempt on my part to follow the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and its recovery program with the help of all you Al-Anons, AAs, and people all over the world, have not had a drink of anything containing alcohol since May the 10th, 1946. And you know I'm deeply grateful. The only reason I mention the length of my sobriety is because I'm damn proud of it. Well, we just went through a little picnic deal here a couple of weeks ago, Suburban Club, which I belong to over in North Dallas. And, you know, I was raised on a farm out in West Texas, and I'm still pretty rural. And I let you in on a little secret. These city folks know how to put on a picnic like this, like y'all do. They just don't, you know, we try and try, and they glaze all the food and put all this and that and the other on it, but it don't turn out like out here. I can tell you, you're the best. I've had some of this before, and it's great. And it's the fellowship that you have in this group reminds me of the old-time groups around in the early days of AA. Really down-to-earth AA fellowship and people participating. You know, you don't get much out of AA if you don't participate in it. If you don't give of yourself like it started out, if you don't do things and do things for other people and do things collectively for the idea of all of us staying sober and enjoying what we found in AA, there's not much to it. That's what it is. It's fellowship. It's love. And it's kindness, and it's sharing with others. But what little I have to say is directed at the miracles that we have found and shared in NAA. When you look at our track record as a people in the world today, you think that we must have been, or somebody was pretty dumb, that we went 1935 years without a solution to the drinking problem. I say that because for 1935 years, every known method was used, and every kind of fellowship and every kind of organization almost you can think of was designed and to do something with the drunk, not the alcoholic, the drunk. And we were known as drunkards. And we were known as bums, and we were known as a lot of other things the name's not very tasteful. So, what happened? For 1935 years, they had puking campaigns to make you puke and turn you away from booze. And I didn't need any puking compound myself. I did it without it, you know. I could look at a purple drink of booze and throw up for an hour, and drink that old different colors of wines and throw up in Technicolor. But here, these people, they were honest, they were good. A lot of them were kind to us, even. not about what they called us, but in some respect they were kind, because they pitied the poor alcoholic. They didn't call us the poor drunkard. And this went on and on and on, no fault of theirs, because nobody had any solution for the guy or gal who had a drinking problem, who the town drunkard or the local drunkard or whoever it was. And of course, I admire women, especially in AA, because there was so much stigma attached to the woman alcoholic, the woman who could not handle her booze. No, not even we drunk wanted to be around a drunk woman, you know. We just, don't get around her. She's drunk, you know. And of course, we were slopping all over everything, but we didn't want to be around a drunk. So I admire especially those women in AA who come into AA and try to stay. It's harder for them than it is for we old guys who are just old sots, you know. But all of these methods, tried and unproven, they were proven to the fact that they didn't help the alcoholic on the long haul. They came along with religion, I suppose, was the first thing that was tried to help the drunk. And we couldn't accept religion as to what was wrong. We couldn't even relate religion to helping us overcome the fact that we couldn't drink. Along came medical science, and they tried. And they tried the aversion treatment, which was like some of us went in the hospital and they'd give you all kinds of booze that you liked the best. And then they'd pop you with that apomorphine, you'd throw up your gut, you know, you'd just throw up from here on out. And you thought you never would get through. And swear you'd never take another drink. And I didn't for 45 minutes or so after doing all that. So we were on the road to recovery, weren't we? We were really doing good. And they prayed for me. My father and mother were Southern Baptists. However, my father never saw me take a drink. And my mother knew that I was, she wouldn't call it a drunkard, but she knew, son, you can't drink. And you don't handle it well. And even my mother told me that. But we were prayed for and prayed with and prayed about. And no solution. We were carried to the medical doctor, to the scientist, to the psychiatrist, to the social worker, to the everything in the world to see if you can help this drunk. But nothing helped. So, can you imagine when we look at what happened for 1935 years, up until along came the old Washingtonian movement, was one of the first ones that had a little success and they had a lot of members. And we have to go back and give credit to all of these people who tried, but they didn't know how. And we didn't know how because we didn't know what was wrong with it. But they tried. The Washingtonian movement had a program of a kind that was designed for the drunk. But along came people with other problems and other problems, and I think it should be a warning to us. So let's stay in the alcoholism field and not get out of trying to do something to somebody else that we don't know anything about. Sometimes creates a bad taste in the people's mouth that here, well, he tried AA, they didn't help him. Well, truth of the matter, he had something wrong, or she, that is not in our realm of help. It's something we don't know anything about. It's something we couldn't relate to, so we didn't help. So we get a bad name for trying to do something we can't do and we don't know anything about. Along came, but we have to be grateful to those people in that Washington, they tried. They just didn't know anything about it. And then along came another fellowship or an organization, the Oxford Movement. And we have to give them a lot of credit for trying to help us, because if it hadn't been for them, we would not have AA today. Old Abby Thatcher, Bill's sponsor, was in the Oxford Movement, and he came to see Bill in town hospital. And Bill said, "What the hell happened to you? You're sober." And Abby said, "Well, I'm in this Oxford thing." Anyhow, Abby's relating to Bill for some of the spiritual things that he'd picked up in the Oxford Movement. He related to Bill, and Bill was able to disseminate that into some of what is AA today. So, but Abby stayed drunk. He went back and got drunk and stayed drunk. And was bitter and bitter and bitter that he did not stay sober and go along with Bill and Dr. Bob in the inception of this thing. Show you what envy and pity and those things, jealousy will do for you. Abby stayed drunk another 25 or 30 years, yet he took the message to Bill that there was a way out, not that way, it didn't prove that way, but there was a way out from the drinking problem. So, these few things that Bill was able to digest from Abby were of a spiritual nature. And they are part of our AA program today. There's a part of religion in it today. There's a part of a lot of things that are incorporated into this recovery program. But the trouble was that we universally, all of we alcoholics together, could not accept the things that were in these programs. We could not accept the way of a power greater than us, because it was not a universal power, something that all of us alike could believe in and become sober by following that power greater than we are, with the help of that power. So, truth of the matter, it took 1935 years to come to the place in life where the alcoholic, there was a program that you could live by and stay sober, and was proven that it would work for everybody if they wanted it, if they wanted to stay sober worse than anything in the world. So, but yet, all of these things, the medical doctors, the psychiatrists, the preachers, all these people made an effort, a stab at helping we alcoholics, but they just didn't know how to do it. So, what happened? Now, the miracle of AA to me, the miracle of sobriety is this, that on a day, old Bill Wilson, who could not provide food for the table, Lois was still working that department store, and, you know, I had a kind of a situation like that. Margaret was working in the county courthouse, and that wasn't a very good place for a wife to be working when you had a drunk who was getting a lot of DWIs. And she had some phone calls and things of that sort of nature. Some phone calls that you wives, some of you will understand if you live with a drunk as active. But they were not pleasant. Anyhow, Lois was working in this department store, making the groceries and paying the rent on the little place they had to live in New York. And Bill was trying to, he'd gone down the stock market and couldn't get a job. And finally he hooked on to and had a license in the New York as a New York stockbroker. But he wound up with a little sobriety in Akron, Ohio. And these are the miracles, and I think these are the divine guidance or the miracle of the power greater than we are. And let me say, and I'll say it again during whatever time I talk, that other meeting that starts too late, that it will be, we'll get over in time for them. But the miracle that happened after 1935 years was that old Bill could not make a deal to make a nickel to put some bread on the table. And he had to go back and face Lois with the fact that he couldn't make any money. The deal fell through. And on the elevator in the old Mayflower Hotel in Akron, he got on the elevator and went down, and he got off the elevator. And now here's the miracle. And this is the act of God, and this is the reason we're here sober today, to me, was that he walked over to the directory of all the churches in Akron, Ohio. And if you don't believe in the higher power of God, look at this. And you think this is not a miracle? To walk down to 40 churches and pick out a minister in all of those churches that he would call and say, I need somebody to talk to that needs help. I'm a drunk. And the minister understood. Out of all the ministers, can you imagine? Out of all the ministers, I bet there wasn't two others in there that would have understood what he's talking about. But Bill called this minister and he said, yes, I do not know anyone that you're looking for exactly, but I can put you in touch with a lady who does know and might help. And he called Henrietta Sibling, the Sibling Rubber Company, and said, there's a man called me, and he's an alcoholic, he's a drunk, and he wants to talk to somebody that like him, somebody that needs help. And Henrietta Sibling said, I can think of one right quick. And can you imagine why she thought of Dr. Bob? It wasn't because he is sober, I'll tell you that. But Henrietta got on the phone, called Ann Smith, and said, there's a man here from New York, and he wants to talk to somebody that has a drinking problem, and he's sincere, and he's honest, and he wants to help himself, and he wants to help somebody else. And Ann said, well, wait just a minute. My husband, I don't know, but he's taking his nap now, the afternoon, evening nap, whatever. Truth of the matter, he passed out drunk, you know. And so when Bob came to a little, Ann said, there's a man who wants to talk about a drinking problem. They want to get together with you and see if y'all can help each other. He wants to help you and think maybe you can help him. And maybe you can give him some medical advice or whatever, anything. Well, reluctantly, they finally got dressed, and Bob got in such condition that he could go over to Henrietta Cyberling's home, and they could sit down. He said, I'll give this drunk 10 or 15 minutes anyhow, you know, just through my big heart. Well, the next morning at sunlight, they were still sitting there talking about drinking, and about drunkenness, and about what they could do about their problem. And the grace of God couldn't have been any other way but that the grace of God planted these things in these places at this time. Now, it's no accident that Bill would walk down and pick out the very minister that would put him in touch with Ms. Sibling and Dr. Bob. Maybe you can call it just an event, but to me it's a miracle of God. And so now the other miracle it was that in putting these things together that they decided they had to do, taking some of the Oxford movement, they didn't have a place to stay, they didn't have a place to meet, and old Bill was there in Akron on the loose and no money, had $10 in his pocket when he went down on the elevator. So these the Williams people, man and his wife Williams, who were in the Oxford movement, furnished the old house for the AA's to meet in. Now we say we're not obligated to anybody else, but we're obligated to all those people. There's it. The old house there, that's the Oxford movement house that they had met in, the Williams. And for a long while, over a year, the AA's met in this old house, the old Oxford movement house. So we had a lot of help along the line. A lot of people helped us to do things that we couldn't do ourselves. So through this old house and Bob and Bill and sitting down and going through these things, the other miracle was that these events that have happened have been an act of a power greater than we are. However we want to choose that power and however we want to look at that power, and everybody is not going to have a spiritual recovery like Bill Wilson. Everybody's not going to have a hot flash and suddenly wake up into a new world altogether. Every drunk's not going to have that. So they came to the realization that in order to do something that had never been done for the drunk before, was to let's take our experiences with all of these things regarding the higher power. We know that man and has never been able to help himself with a drinking problem. That's been proven. We know that nobody has been able to do it alone or with the help of a doctor or a psychiatrist or name them all. But we do know that there have been recoveries of all kinds through the grace of God. And we know that the power of God, as we understand Him, as all of us can relate to Him, can do all things. But their realization, the miracle of God that intervened in here, to me is a spiritual miracle. In that they said we must have a universal relationship so that all people of all faiths, of all religions, of all everything, whatever they are, a drunk, can take this and choose their own way of relating to that higher power or to God. So we know that if those things had not been done, then we would be out in the cold again. We would not have something. And the reason we're all here as a group today, and every one of us may have a different conception of that power greater than we are. There may not be two alike, I don't know. But I do know this, that every single one of us, all of us, do have a power of some kind greater than we are, that we can relate to and that we can call on and pull on for help that we need to stay sober a minute, an hour, or 15 minutes, or 10 days, or a year, whatever. There is nobody who comes into AA or who says they have a drinking problem or admit that they have a drinking problem. There is nobody, regardless of their former belief and what they may have been in the past, but they can relate to some kind of higher power. however their conception of that power may be. So, the whole thing in a nutshell is that those 1935 years that we walked around in a stupor and didn't know what the hell to do with the drunk, and all of those things was solved in that we have a universal power that can keep all of us sober and can keep all of us happy and keep all of us together if we'll only put our trust in that power. And I believe that the success we have in sobriety depends upon the gratitude and the relationship that we have with that power greater than we are. If we are willing to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him, totally, completely, and without any reservations, there is help. There is not any way that we can fail to stay sober if we have enough faith in that power greater than we are. And how do we get that faith in that power? It's because we see it working in others. Because we realize that unless we give this away, whatever we have gotten in this thing, a day at a time or an hour or 15 minutes or whatever, unless we give it away, we don't have any left. We realize that we must, as Bob and Bill did, the first thing they realized they needed to do was find somebody else who needed help like they did. And they mustered another guy in and another guy and a few, and we say in a braggadocio way, which some of us do, that, well, hell, you know, it wasn't long, first thing you know, AA just grew, mushroom. Well, it didn't. We like to brag on it and all, but we went along 5 years and had 100 members. Can you believe that? 5 years, and here we got a lousy 100 members. We could start a group here tomorrow right down the street and have more than 100 members, but we know a little about what we're talking about. They didn't know. They didn't. They had to get people in to admit that they were powerless over alcohol and their lives were unmanageable, and then they had to come to believe in a power greater than themselves, and they had to do all of these steps are in the past tense. These are what the first 100 members of AA did, and they did it for us. They stayed sober by doing these things, these steps up here. It is a guaranteed recovery program. It will not fail if we are able to do the things that it says. If we are able to muster that power greater than we are, and to whatever extent we're able to incorporate that into our lives, is the success we will have in staying sober. I believe that. Well, I got a kick out of this. A couple of days ago, I had a birthday on the 10th of May. And I got this from Bob Smith, Dr. Bob's son. He sent me a birthday. And we know what the 12 steps are. This is the 12 promises. So I thought it was good. The 12 promises that we have, we will know a new freedom of happiness by taking the 12 steps. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity. We will know peace. We will see how our experiences would benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. The year of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. we will suddenly realize self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. A year of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's the 12 promises of AA. I believe that you know the way to get to be an old timer is go to a meeting and don't die. But to me, an old timer is somebody that gets sober and gives advice and sits on their ass in an armchair and tell you how to run the club. And I have had some say, well, why don't you, you've been through all these things with AA and the clubs and all this, and why don't you sit back and let the young ones do it? Well, the young ones don't enjoy me being sober like I do. I need the young ones to push me to meetings and things that I might sit on my rear end and not do something and say, oh, you're doing good. And they love to hear that from an old timer, you know. Oh, how wonderful you're doing. But I'm not doing a damn thing, see. Well, that doesn't keep me sober. So I think of what if Bob and Bill, after a few years, at the time our third legacy came along where they dumped this in our laps and said, it's your baby. You stayed sober with it. What are you going to do with it? That's the way they did it. So if they, sooner than that time, if they had said, look, we spent 5 years getting the first 100 members. We went through hell. We didn't have bread on the table a lot of times. We didn't have gasoline money. I remember a time that 50 of us, W.O. and Ole, you know, Bill gave us an autographed picture of Specter, only had 50 of them made. And the reason I did, we bought him an old DeSoto car and threw W.O. and sent it up there. And Marty and I happened to be at Bill and Lois's home the day it came in. And you would have thought that it was a baby that messed in his britches or something. Old Bill was beside himself, grateful for that old DeSoto car. And he wore it out driving around. And we were up there here a couple of years ago, and the cab driver told us that, said, I think that little old lady talking about Lois, she still comes to the grocery store in that old DeSoto. And I said, no, that's just, she's backing into it. She's got another one now. That was an airflow, and it looks like the back, but she's on the right track, you know. But he's talking about that little hunched over lady that come down to the grocery store and drove up and bought the groceries and went on about her business. But they went through hell. Imagine if you'd started this group. How old is this group, Cuba? 10 years? 10 years old? You got more members here than we had in AA the first 5 years. Right here in this little group here. Not a little group. But what if Bill and Bob had come to the conclusion that we worked our tails off to give you a program that works, and we know it works because we got people saying so. And every one of them who have done what it said in there, what we said in the program, it worked. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a vacation. We've done all this work. We sat on our tails. Now y'all go do the work. Of course, they eventually did that, but not then. But what they did was the legacy that left us was that we had better be there and extend a hand of fellowship like we found it when we came in. Now, that's the reason I'm active in AA. That's the reason I go to meetings. Somebody was there and stuck out their hand to me and said, "You're welcome. You're home. This is where you belong. You can stay sober if you want to. If you don't want to, well, don't waste your time." But they laid it to me in pretty strict terms, and I thought they meant what they said. And they gave me some pretty harsh language in the way I could do it. I could do it my way, or I could do it the AA way. And I chose to do it the AA way. But now, if all the old-timers and all the new-timers and all this and that, if we decide, well, here, we've done our duty, so we're going to sit back and let the younger ones do it, and the older, whoever, something, let John do it, or Mary, then you don't participate, and you don't, your dividends are not very much because you didn't do anything. So, for the first time in my life that I was ever told that I was wanted was when I walked in AA. That you're welcome. You can find what you want here if you give it away. If you find good, give it away. If you find evil, if you find something that's not good, keep it. Hold on to it. See where it gets you. And they told me a lot of things that I'll never forget. They told me that the club is not AA. And I thought, well, hell, they told me this was the AA club. No, here's AA, the 12 steps. That's AA. Well, what about old John now? I see him doing some things that I don't like. He's not AA. Well, I see Mary over here doing so and so, and she's not AA. One guy came to me, old Bugs Moore, when I was drying out over here in the North Dallas in 1946, and he said, sit down beside my bed, and he said, "Searchy, whatever you do, I know from experience, don't get on the pill. You think it's tough to get off the booze, you don't know anything." Now he said, "My big problem now is the pill." And he gave me good advice about those things. Burl McInerney set me down and told me, he said, "The club is not AA. The group is not AA. AA is a way of life. And if you use that as a way of life, and you're part of a group of people who do the same thing, and remember that there's no personal victory in AA. There is no personal victory in AA. If there is any success, whatever success we have individually or collectively, we have to turn around and give it back to where it came from. The power greater than we are." So Bob and Bill took a design of living from all of these things, and they put it in a capsule form where we can digest it, and we can give it away, and we can take it, and it's good for us, and we can accept it, and we can live with it. But we can't live with it if we don't give it away. If we don't extend the same kind of help and assurances with that newcomer, and to my way of thinking that our own story of just exactly what happened to us, convey that to that new drunk, that new person coming into AA, or talking about coming in. If we tell them exactly what happened to us, not I can't tell Cuba's story. I can't tell John's story or somebody else. But if I tell that new drunk, this is what happened to me. This is what I found in AA. This is how I found sobriety. This is how I keep sobriety. It works. So, our three legacies that we must hold on to if we want to hold on to what gave us this way of life. Our first legacy being the 12 steps of recovery, which is guaranteed to work. It never fails. Our second legacy being the 12 traditions, which says if we do these things as individuals and as a group, we cannot fail. AA will live on forever, which these other movements did not do because they didn't have 12 traditions. And then when they turned around, Bob and Bill, and said, look, we've done our best for this fellowship. We've done all we can do. And we want to turn over to you, the beneficiary of this thing, we want to turn over to you what you have reaped and what you will in the future. But we entrust it in your hands and in God's hands to keep this thing forever, just like it is. So, if we're careful what we do and careful what we say and careful what we are, because we may be the only Bible someone will ever have to read. And if we stay sober and we stay active in AA and we stay ready to give away what we've been given and give the credit to God or the higher power, however you believe in that higher power, give them all the credit and with total trust and faith in that power greater than we are, we can stay sober. We don't need to bend an elbow a day at a time forever. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, seriously. We appreciate you coming out this evening.